Hello and welcome to the 20th episode of the Swinging Report Show. This time we're celebrating the Dreamcast's birthday, which is today on the U.S. launch. And we usually celebrate the U.S. launch because it has the coolest date, you know, 9999. We're here with Ben.
Number one in the hood, G.
And Shigs.
I'm thinking.
He's thinking. And he is. We're going to be talking about what we've been up to versus Ben.
Hey, guys, what I've been up to. I haven't been on the podcast for like 7 weeks or something like that, some ridiculous number. So there's tons of stuff, but I'll try to keep it short. My power brick busted, so I didn't have internet. But what I did have is I got a 3DS, which is awesome. It's a really good system, in my opinion, anyway. Fuck the haters.
Actually, I'm a hater, and I would like a little bit of respect.
Nah, fuck that. It's a good system.
It's a good system. How's the software?
Well, the software's not very good. I'll admit the software kind of sucks. That's true. But I don't know. It's fun. It's fun to control. I like that thumbpad. Shit, what else? I mean, pretty much, otherwise, just kind of, I've been chilling. I've been visiting a lot of friends. I've been, like, doing all that fun stuff. I tried, how do you pronounce it? Deus Ex? Is it Deus Ex? Whatever. That's
the Human Revolution game?
Yeah. I can't play that. I'm not good at stealth games. I didn't know it was a stealth game. I literally died, like, 10 times on, like, the first mission. I really suck at it. But I'm really loving Super Paper Mario, which is really funny. So there you go. I'm a Wii fan.
I hear if you just play Deus Ex on easy, you can make it into a shooter and just have fun like that.
Maybe I should do that because I really can't. I think my thing with video games, I'm pretty good with video games, but like if I find myself dying like 10 times on the second mission, I lose interest really fast. It was the same with Brutal Legend, which I also tried playing, and immediately into it, I was just like, oh, fuck this, man.
I played Brutal Legends on hard, and I got all the way to this, like, goth RTS level, like, part.
Yeah.
I couldn't beat that part. Like, it was impossible, literally. Like, I tried, like, at least 100 times.
Yeah, I had this weird thing with Brutal Legend where, like, the first 5 minutes, I was like, okay, this is really fun. Then 10 minutes later, I was like, dude, why do they make this an RTS, and why is it so... I never thought I'd say that Bobby Kotick was right, but it felt really glitchy too, and like really like it froze on me too in like the second level.
It had a really bad frame rate too.
Yeah, it did, and it's too bad because I root for the guy, but that was an unfinished game, I have to say. But what's not unfinished is Ocarina of Time 3DS, which is just really fun. So that's what I've been up to game wise.
I played it on. The port Ocarina of Time. They had it on at Target. You can play it on the 3DS.
Yeah.
The 3D is pretty cool, but I don't know. It just seems kind of, like, useless. I think it looks cool, though, when you're, like, running in the village and you see, like it's a cube.
Yeah.
Inside. It looks cool. But people say that the aiming wasn't that good. I had no trouble with it, though.
Do you like, what, like, no. The gyroscope?
No, with, like, aiming, like, your weapons, I guess. They said that the 3D was, like, off. I think Shakes told me that.
I used the gyroscope aiming on it. It was actually really good because you and the camera with your eyes at the same time was kind of like almost being there when you're playing it.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much for me, the problem is that when you move pretty much to gyroscope aiming, you have to move the screen. And whenever you do that, you lose the 3D. So like, you either have to switch to 2D for that part or just not use it. But you don't have to use it. You can use the analog thumbpad instead.
I think that's like one issue with the 3D screens right now. It has like really.
I actually
horrible...
liked it with the gyroscope myself.
I think it's like very really really bad viewing angles. That's it. I think if they could fix that, I think it would be a lot better for a handheld.
It would be interesting. Yeah, I mean, I like the idea. Like, I think I don't like 3D on consoles, but on like a handheld little screen thing without glasses, like it's fine. Like. For 170, it's fine. Not for 250, though. Fuck that.
250 is the right price.
250 was never the right price.
I think that's already been determined.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I think it's Schick's turn now. He's going to tell us about his job and how he had to like help an old lady out and he's a hero.
No, nothing like that.
I'll put you on the spot.
Last week I mentioned I got the ST card for my Saturn, but it didn't play like 4 meg imports and that, like X-Men versus Street Fighter and what have you. So I ended up having to trade that one back in. I ordered a Pro Action Replay Plus with 4 megs from Amazon. And the guy shipped, I asked for fast, not fast shipping, but free shipping, but the guy shipped it super fast anyway. Arrived 2 days later, I got X-Men versus Street Fighter to play and Christmas Nights, which is basically like a 15-minute demo with like 10 hours of bonus content you unlock by playing the demo over and over again. It's a ridiculous amount of content.
Christmas Nights, they were giving it away for free, wasn't it, when it came out?
Yeah. They gave it away like free in Next Generation or Famitsu or the European mags.
Yeah, that was Sega's version of DLC back then.
Yeah, I know. It was crazy because it had more content as far as extras than the full version had as for extras. It was just one level demo where you could play as either the boy or the girl. If you played both, you got a little ending in a like Boys to Men's a cappella style version of the Knights theme.
Wait. Boy, the actual Boys to Men sang the freaking
no,
next
it's it. No, it just sounded kind of like him.
Okay, I don't know who Boys to Men is,
but they sound
rough.
Every time you finish the demo, there's a match card game rough. To play, and you play that, and you unlock an art museum or a time attack mode or a Link scoring mode or karaoke. Or eventually Sonic is unlockable to play in the game.
Actually, that's what makes me think. Like, why didn't they use that? Why didn't they use that as like you know how they have like Link mode and stuff? Why didn't they use that as extra content for like Nights into Dreams? Like, there's like a mode where you just like where you could just do Links like you Link as many as possible, and then you upload your high score and stuff.
Yeah, that actually helped me because I wasn't good at getting anything but C's all the time. And doing that mode, doing a lot of practice, I started getting A's in the game all the time. So that's pretty good. It's a nice companion piece to the full Knights. Anyway, the only thing else I've been playing is I got a LEGO Star Wars 3 The Clone Wars through GameFly. And I'm actually pretty surprised at how well the graphics are. It has excellent lighting, and it has this thing where it can do like hundreds of the little battle droids on screen at once, marching
around.
What
system are you playing it on?
On PS3.
Okay.
It has more characters on screen than like those Samurai Warrior games and such. And I just got Resistance 3 and Star Fox, but I haven't had a chance
to play.
How
much do you pay for Resistance 3?
$60.
Can I go to your house and play it and stuff? Can I go to your house, like sign my profile on your PS3 and like just play your house? I really got into the online when I played it on the beta. I got all the way to level 30, by the way.
Go wow. Me.
And I kind of wanted to buy it,
play
but like,
other maps.
I kind of wanted to buy it, but I already pre-ordered like Uncharted 3, and I still had to pay that off. So I was like, oh well.
I'm gonna look like such a nerd on Thursday, November 1st, when they have like a midnight sale for Uncharted 3, and I end up going, okay, Sonic Generations, please. It's on the same day. They come out the same day.
Do they really?
Yep.
Wow.
I wonder what's going to do better.
Oh. Dude, that sucks. Wait. Wow, okay.
Actually, it might be November 1st, actually. I thought it was the 11th.
I'm hearing November 1st. I can check it real quick.
Check it for me, Wikipedia Shigs.
Yeah. Go Wikipedia.
Or in this case, GameStop.
Barry just messaged me. He said he's going to be on in 5 minutes. So I guess I'll give me time to tell you what I've been up to real quick, I guess. Or are you still telling us?
No, November 1st.
So they're going to go against each other, huh?
Yeah, 11-11.
I'm gonna make a little prediction. I think Uncharted 3 is going to outsell Sonic Generations the first week from both platforms together. Done.
Yeah,
What do you mean, 360 and PS3 together?
Together, yes. First month in the U.S. For the first month, at least. I think in the long run, it's going to sell better. I mean, Unleashed is going to sell better in the long run. But in the short term, I think Uncharted 3 is going to do better.
See, I just worry that, like, without a Wii version...
You say Unleashed, you mean Generations.
I mean Generations,
yeah, Generations.
Sorry. I cannot say Unleashed. I think I'm just pissed about the argument last time, that's why.
Yeah, he's still pissed about that, I guess. Dude, I don't know. I'm speaking like a Wii fan, but I kind of think Sega's kind of fucking themselves over by not having a Wii version.
It wouldn't be
good, but they should have one.
I'm in that barrier.
Yeah, let's put out a shitty Sonic game just to split out one.
That's shitty, but what's Barry?
Hey, we were just talking about how Sonic Generations is coming out the same day as Uncharted 3.
Oh, well, let's talk about that.
Let's talk about it. How do you feel about that? How does it affect your life?
That doesn't affect me at all because I have an Xbox 360. I don't have a PlayStation 3 yet.
Yeah, dude, high five, man.
Yeah, man.
Okay, I'm tired of you 3DS. hipsters and your free NES games. I'm tired of it, man. I'm not gonna let this happen.
Ambassador, motherfucker. Well, not really.
I get the free
games anyway because I got it before the official date.
So you get the
discount.
Did you do
the Walmart thing?
No, I went to Target. They did it early too. Target did it early, so I got that shit. I was like, yes.
I'm kind of regretting not getting it now, so I could play. Wait, what NES games? Just Nintendo ones, right?
Yeah, just Nintendo NES games, Zelda, Zelda 2, Super Mario Brothers, Metroid, Balloon Fight, Wrecking Crew,
Balloon Fight,
golf game, Donkey Kong Jr.
What is this, like old school casual Nintendo?
And Yoshi puzzle game. Yeah, really old school Nintendo.
Huh. I wanted to see if they had like any obscure like Capcom titles I used to like on the NES. Anyway,
Nintendo NES.
Barry, what have you been up to?
Well, I've just been doing the Dreamcast marathon thing. I was sitting there trying to put up with a whole bunch of kids online chatting.
Sega Uranus told me you banned him.
Was it him I banned?
Yeah, you banned him because he said, "Hey, man, why don't you play the Grinch?" he was telling me on MSN, like, dude, tell Barry to unban me. I can't tell him. He's a grown man. He knows what he's doing, and he's doing his own thing.
I'm sorry. I didn't know it was him, to be honest. I thought it was a certain other individual who was giving me shit online. So, I mean, I was sitting there and someone just started typing in all caps, so I just banned him because it was getting annoying.
Now loading. I like when you were playing Sonic Shuffle. I can't believe you even tried that. I would never play Sonic Shuffle on live.
It's not an awful game, but the CPU is just terrible.
Yeah, and Sega wrote an article about how he likes that game because he likes bad games.
Dude. I like bad games. Sonic Shuffle I actually did like, but I was a little kid, so who the hell knows? But I don't know. Yeah. I played it again recently. It's fun in a way, I think.
Well, the more people you have and the more talkative you are, the load times go by real fast because you're either talking about how stupid the game is or other things, and then, you know, so.
Yeah, especially if you had a few beers or something, it's much more tolerable, I would think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's definitely like a D-level game if you're playing by yourself, but I'd give it like a B if you're playing with three other people.
Yep, same.
So you've just been doing the Dream Room? That's it?
Yeah, I've just been doing that, and last of my friends left, so I turned it off. I only had Jedi Power Battles.
I remember that game. I was all into that game when it came out on the Dreamcast.
They have yellow lights.
It was a port, but...
Yeah, not, actually, the one game I forgot to mention I was playing was Skies of Arcadia for Dreamcast. I picked it up on import for, not import, but on a collector's show for $30. I unfortunately have only had about a half hour chance to play it because my big HDTV is freaking out on me now. So
you play Dreamcast on a big HDTV?
Yeah, through a VGA cable.
Yeah, I have a VGA cable. Actually, I have I have to write a review for the cable. I keep on forgetting to do it, but it's the perfect month to do it, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
What's crazy is I'm borrowing my mother's old Sanyo one that's about 19-inch, and it has one of those in the back, but the VGA just won't play off of it. I don't know
it's
why.
It's probably because it's too low, because I think the Dreamcast only does through VGA 480p, I think.
Yeah.
So it's probably too low for the television. It's probably a minimum of 720.
Yeah, so I went ahead and ordered some regular cables off of Amazon because I don't have any normal ones.
That's good.
Well, I'm fine with because then I have to have external speakers for the audio for Dreamcast.
Well, let me tell you real quick what I've been up to, which is almost nothing. I actually beat Brotherhood last night, like at 4 a.m. That game is, tell you what, just when you play, the game has cool like gameplay additions, but the story is crap. Like, it's all a fetch, like a big fetch mission. Like, oh, go find this person, go find that person for like 8 hours. And then like the last 30 minutes are like pretty epic though.
But I'll be right back. I'm coughing like crazy. I need to get something from my throat.
Man, dude. Jason's been smoking way too much, man.
Yeah, dude. That shit will kill you.
Thank God I'm straight edge. Anyway, I was, so yeah, I beat Brotherhood and I started playing Plants vs. Zombies because it was free on PlayStation Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it. It's a cool little casual game. I haven't really played it that much. I played it for like an hour. But my friend's all into it, so hopefully I don't get too addicted. And that's all I've been up to, basically. Oh, and setting up Dreamcast stuff for the site. That's about it.
Yeah, nice. Sounds fun. Yeah.
It's not fun at all. I hate it. It's the worst. Let's move on to Sega News, actually, since we want to get this moving. Rise of Nightmares has hit stores. How are you, the reviews are kind of mixed, but we have somebody on the show that's actually played it. So, Barry?
I have not played it.
You haven't got the game yet?
I haven't gotten it yet.
Weak.
They said they were going to send it like yesterday, so hopefully you get it tomorrow.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. I mean, I'll play it right away. I mean, I've read a lot of the positive reviews, and I totally get where they're coming from. It's one of those games where you think it's going to be really awful to control, but it looks like it's manageable, and after a little bit, you actually really get into it. So
it seems like it's kind of a game where you either like it or you don't like it, because I've seen some pretty positive reviews, and I've seen some like negative reviews.
I mean, people hate Kinect. I mean, if people are going to play a Kinect game and they hate the Kinect, they're not going to get the game a good review, even if the game's playable and fun, I think.
I'm willing to give a game a chance. I mean, I'm not a big Kinect or Move fan, but if the game is good enough to like buy the Kinect,
yeah,
I'll just like, I wouldn't think about the system itself. I just think about how good the game is.
Right.
Games should speak for themselves, not the, you know, the system or
that's
platform.
True.
You guys talking about Night Rise of Nightmares, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did get to try that at E3, and I actually enjoyed it quite a bit.
There you go.
I mean, yeah, my thoughts are that it looked like an awesome game. I don't think I'll ever get to play it because I don't have the Kinect, and I kind of feel like I wish there was some way they could have done it with a controller as an option. I just wish they could have done that.
But then it would feel like a really, really poor, like a poor man's Left 4 Dead or something like that.
Or you could just play Condemned.
Yeah.
Well, it's not the same, but
Dead Island is kind of RPG-ish, isn't it? I don't know.
I haven't played that yet, but everybody's saying it's pretty good.
That's also getting only kind of... It's getting good reviews, but in, like, the low sevens. Like, it's not, like, getting great reviews.
I guess it's, like, a fun game that's broken. So, like, people are trying to, like, not get mad at it because they like playing it. But it's kind of like Mass Effect for me. Like, the game felt broken, but it was still kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I know what you mean.
Like, you've seen me complain about the game, like, the graphics and stuff. I think it's because I expected too much from the game. I think I expected way too much. If the game wasn't as hyped as it was, I probably would have loved the game. But I walked in there with, like, oh, you could explore planets and all this stuff. And all they gave you was, like, dirt planets to find rocks.
Yeah.
So yep, that's my only problem.
But that's what I thought about one.
Rise of Nightmares looks pretty good, though. I'm actually excited because of the people behind the game, but...
Oh, me too. Yeah, definitely.
It seems like I'm actually surprised that I've seen commercials for it on TV.
Really?
Have you really?
I've seen commercials for it on TV a few times. Like, even, like, because my brothers always leave the TV on all day. And so every time I pass by, they had the... It's kind of like a Kevin Butler commercial, but with the zombie guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
He just, like, talks about the game and, like, how you don't need you could just punch zombies in the face, basically. That's what he's...
Like, oh, dude, that's cool though. That's cool. I wonder if we could find it on YouTube and put it on the site. I kind of want to see it.
And I've also seen it popping around like Google ads and stuff. So I'm surprised that Sega's actually put some money behind it. So
and yeah, some smart advertising too. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they got a lot of confidence in this game, so I hope it does well for them. It's pretty hardcore for a Kinect game.
Let's see. Oh, okay. I don't know. I didn't download this, so somebody that downloaded this gets started off. Sonic 20th anniversary app hits iOS for free with your time. Shigs, have you played? Have you used it?
I've tried it out, and I put up one of the wallpapers for my iPod, but I can't play the Sketch Hog because it requires iOS 4 for some reason.
Apparently, it's. I heard it's like real simple. You just tap the screen and he jumps, but it's kind of
Kind of like a Cobalt or something like that. But I'll get to try it next week because I'm going to be upgrading my iPod to iPod 4 anyway.
Cool.
Barry, you have an iPod?
I have an iPod Touch version 1. I can download it, but I can't play some of the apps like the wallpaper or the game. It's for free, it's a cool thing. I hope it adds a lot more content, though, or it's just I'll delete it in a few months.
Yeah, I don't understand the point of it. What is it, to, like, promote Sonic Generations, I guess?
Yeah, the weird thing is I think it has a news feed on it, but just, you know, go to fan sites or go to the Sega blog. It's the same thing. I don't know why you need, like, and it's never up to date. You know, it's not going to tell you that some German site leaked footage or something like that.
I think that's the problem with the kind of stuff like that. Like, official stuff is always behind.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that Sega, like, puts out a trailer and I'll get it in my email. Like, new Rise of Nightmare trailer. And then it's like 5 days later they put it on their blog. It's like, okay.
Exactly.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
The last one's going to piss people off, I guess, for the new section. Sonic Generations gets a special edition exclusive to Europe and Australia.
Bullshit!
We're all Americans, so... I probably wouldn't have bought the special edition, but I have to admit it looks pretty cool. So if it came out here for like $100, I probably would have dropped it.
Yeah.
All I can say is that I understand because Europe loves Sonic and they've stuck with him for some pretty shitty games, and I guess this is their reward for that. Yeah. So I don't know. I guess that's nice.
What about Australia?
Australia, yeah, that is true.
Born in Australia.
I don't even know if I should get mad at that. I don't even know.
Australia. They get fucked over enough. I wouldn't even worry about it.
Yeah, I guess what sucks is you have to depend on your own country instead of yourself as a fan. So they say, like, well, this is what Europe gets for being a big fan. And I'm like, well, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, really?
you know.
Now I either have to import it from Amazon Germany or get one of my UK friends from Sonic Stadium to help me import it.
Tell Aki to buy you 15 of them. I told him to buy me 3. That way I can make YouTube videos and just stack them up in the back. Look at me, I'm stacking 3s.
I pre-ordered it from Amazon Germany.
Now, this is the question. Will the German one have English voices as well, or just the German voices?
I was listening to say right now, can you imagine him, Sonic talking like Hitler? Has Kussness!
What is? I don't know.
Do they have German dubbing? I didn't think they dubbed him in German.
Yeah, the thing is, every country is going to have its own dubbing for this game.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Is it region-free, the game?
We don't know.
Yeah, the game's region-free, yes.
Oh.
All of it?
Holy shit.
Not the game, like, for 360 or anything, but PS3 itself is region-free.
Well, right. All games have been region-free so far, haven't they?
Yeah, so any game you get on PS3, no matter what, you know, country, it's going to work.
Actually, a large number of 360 titles are actually region-free, but, like, I have region-free.
Yeah, the Virtual on Force is region-free, the Japanese version.
We'll see. We'll see what these do, but it's still a pretty cool special edition. It's just crap because Sega America never does special editions for their games.
Yeah.
No, like, and this is like the coolest looking thing. It's a statue. It's got the ring, the soundtrack, the biography stuff, the art book, everything.
All I'm saying is it's Sonic's 20th anniversary. It only comes one time in 20 years, obviously. Well, one time ever.
Yeah.
And last time they gave us a pretty crappy 15th anniversary, so the least they could do is give us a special edition.
Well, they gave us a 10th anniversary with a little coin and a soundtrack thing. That was it.
If they could afford to make 100 figures of Sonic and give them to freaking that one guy.
Jim Sterling.
Yeah, Jim Sterling, because he's such a big Sonic fan. They could afford to freaking give all the real Sonic fans a special edition and even make a little bit of profit off of them, too, since they are obviously going to profit off the special edition.
See, this is why they need a Sega store, you know?
This is actually what I was kind of whining about. Like, Sega should have stores. Like, they give all this stuff away from Twitter, and, like, none of the real fans ever win it. Some guy named Luigi182 wins it. And the next day he tweets, why don't you put Mario games in Sonic? I mean, Mario and Sonic. Like, okay. Like, cool, dude. This guy won the Shinmu statue or whatever. Fair thing.
Yeah. Hey, Barry, do you have to put money down for the pre-order on Amazon or no?
No, you don't. You don't have to put money down, and you can cancel it at any time before it ships. So that's why I did it, because it comes out to $138. It's a lot, but what I'm planning on doing is...
For me, it's worth it.
It's worth it, yeah. I mean, if it didn't have the statue, if it was just like CDs and books, that would be too much. But when you get all that stuff in it, I think it's worth it. Plus, I'm going to hold on to the American version of the game, and if the German version runs and has English voices and everything, I'll just trade the American version and get my cash back. So
that's pretty much what I'm doing. I'm keeping my 360 pre-order of the game, and I'm still getting that special edition as well.
Yeah.
Huh. I'm going to import it, just the regular version, though. Is that cool? You guys? I'm going to pay about $90 for the import.
Yeah, you're going to wait 3 days later to import it.
No, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I just want to hear Sonic talk German.
If Sonic talks German and it works on my machine, a live German stream of the game.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
You could dress like Hitler while you're playing.
If you want me to, I could. I think I've got a Hitler suit in the back.
Why would you, why? What's the purpose of having a Hitler suit?
For this kind of, if I need to do a Sonic.
You got like a Hitler fetish. Like, you like to just dress like Hitler, make people cook for you.
What, like in The Spirit with Samuel L. Jackson dressing up as Hitler all the time?
Yes, I saw that movie, which was
sucked.
I like the premise of it, and then like it was just like dragging on.
Oh, good God, dude!
this isn't really discussion. I was just gonna announce the release dates. Guardian Heroes comes out October 12th on Xbox Live Arcade. Sonic Generations comes out November 1st in America, the same day as Uncharted 3. November 3rd, Australia, and November 4th, Europe. Weird how Australia gets it before Europe. Since they're so big fans, you'd assume they'd be first in line.
Oh, well.
Dreamcast turns 12.
You passed on the Tokyo Game Show thing.
Oh, did we? That's cool. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, it's tip.
What you want to see and hoping to see at the Tokyo Game Show, since Sega seems to have like a pretty neat booth.
Well, they're still a huge, huge third-party publisher in Japan. It's kind of the Western markets that they're a little lesser on.
And they have Madden to show.
They have the EA games now. But I'm hoping to see some Vita games, really.
Yes, I think that's what I'm hoping for. But I want to see what NSEGA wants. Oh, my 3DS.
Yeah, some 3DS games. Yeah, dude. 3DS, I want to see some binary domain gameplay that doesn't look like shit. That would be awesome. And
y'all look awesome. I don't understand what you're talking about, bro.
Nah, dude. We've seen some good screens now. I just want to see gameplay in motion that doesn't look bad. We'll see. And then Yakuza 5, hopefully.
You want to see Nagashi play on stage with no shirt on?
I did not watch
on top that. On top of a big roof on a tower, playing it on on a 19.
Yeah, I've had the developers playing it in front of me, and I thought it looked awesome.
There you go. You're just a hater, dude.
I played a demo, and I didn't think it looked good, but
you sound like
dude, fucking it. Oh yeah, I am a hater of bad graphics.
Dude, are you serious? Sonic Unleashed worshiper over here? Okay, I'm not even going to get into this debate.
Let's not get into that again. Okay.
Wait, let me admit something, though. It looks better than Deus Ex does. Deus Ex looks bad.
I think you're describing art style with graphics.
Nah, I know the difference in general.
Do you sneak in on Sonic Unleashed? You can't compare them, man. You don't sneak in Sonic Unleashed. You go super fast.
Yeah, dude, you go mad fast. It's so impressive.
Actually, I think that was actually a negative to me in Sonic Unleashed. I think you go too fast. I think.
Yeah, especially after you power him up. Like, especially if he's powered max, it's insane. He's too fast.
I think it's like, I think that's the problem with like new Sonic level design because they try to break it in like sections for like platforming and then super fast sections, and you don't know which one ends and which one stops, and you keep, sometimes you die for no reason.
True.
But you guys haven't played, well, Shakes has, but you guys haven't played Generations in the 3D mode, right? In like the modern mode? Generations? It's much better.
I played the Green Hill in modern because.
Yeah, we were at Sonic Boom, yeah.
Not just Sonic Boom and E3 and Comic Con. So I played that quite a few times.
It feels much more controllable than Unleashed did. So hopefully that's the way it is for the whole game, I hope.
Yeah. Especially the drift, the turning the drift into like a spin dash to turn feels much tighter.
But yeah, we're way off topic.
Yes. Shiggs, yeah. What do you want to see at TGS?
Like I said, when I jumped the gun like a jerk earlier.
Yakuza 5 for the 3DS exclusive?
No, Vita games. I want to see what they got planned for the Vita.
Man, if it's Yakuza 5...
I'm interested in that system, and I'm going to be definitely buying it.
If they say Yakuza 5, I'm going to be pissed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be pissed because I don't want franchises from console to go to handhelds. I want handhelds to have their own franchises. Even if they're based off of like console franchises. Kind of like, you know, Uncharted is going to get its own Vita game, but it's not going to be like Uncharted 3 or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want main games to go to handhelds. I think that's crap.
I agree.
Besides that, just Vita games. Shakes?
Vita.
Besides Vita games, I guess a sneak peek of more of Sonic Generations, but that's about it.
You know that Hideo Kojima or whatever, he's gonna have two stages to like announce like a bit like 15 different like versions of like Metal Gear Solid.
Oh God!
Apparently he's gonna have maybe like a. I think he's gonna have. He said he's gonna be on two platform holders, like announcements. So I'm assuming something's gonna come for the 360.
I'm sick of Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah,
I've been sick of it since 4.
4, yeah, okay. Yeah, I kind of agree, actually, because like, I see Rising and it seems different, but like, I think it should be in its own franchise instead of like just getting the character and giving him his own game. But, let me see. Barry, what do you want to see at TGS?
I want to see them talk less about Sonic Generations and start talking more about... any of the other games, maybe reveal a new RPG, maybe reveal that Phantasy Star Online 2 is coming to a console or coming to other countries. That would be pretty awesome because they need to bring back the whole bringing the world together to communicate sort of thing with Phantasy Star Online 2. I think that's lacking.
Yeah, I think they're kind of lacking that. The whole point of the first one in part 2.
With the simple chat, yeah, where you would go like, let's go to the forest.
And then you had the little faces and you'd make them smoke a joint and you're like, oh, and everybody laughed.
Yeah, I had
it's
Sonic.
So funny. I would like to see I want to see Bayonetta 2. That's it. Just give me Bayonetta 2 and I'm done.
How would you feel if they made a Gene sequel?
I wouldn't care. I'd play it.
Yeah,
as long as it's like keeps faithful to the franchise and has really good gameplay, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'll play it, but cool. I think Bayonetta is probably just, you know, better off just with Bayonetta. Maybe have her as a side story, like kind of like after you beat the game, you'll unlock some missions with her.
That'd be fun.
Let's see. Okay, we finished the release dates. Okay, Dreamcast turns 12. Happy. How does it feel? How does it feel that knowing that the Dreamcast has been out 12 years, Barry?
I think it's pretty crazy because I started with the Genesis in 91. That's like when I really started to pay attention to Sega stuff, and I just realized now that we're going into the 10 years of them as a publisher now. So I've known Sega as long as a publisher as I have as a console maker and publisher. And so it feels really, it's kind of weird to look back and think that this whole time they've been just doing publishing and 10 years ago they had their last piece of hardware on the market. So I also think that ever since the 10th anniversary of the Dreamcast, things have been winding down in terms of like outside of the fan base. Because, you know, you talk to people who didn't even own a Dreamcast on 09. And they knew that it was the 10th anniversary, thanks to all these sites. But then as the 11th one came and the 12th one now, I think people are starting to care less, and it's going to get more and more obscure, and it's going to depend on the fans to keep it going, I think.
Yep. Sega isn't even mentioning the anniversary, which is kind of weird.
It is weird.
Since all they do is tweet, that's their job, basically. I'm surprised they didn't announce anything.
They're too busy explaining to Americans why they don't get their Sonic 20th anniversary box.
It seems like they're busy giving away stuff. I'm looking right now on Twitter.
Yeah, I know. I saw that too.
I see that's what they do now. Every Friday, just get up, give away stuff, have people say, "Come on, man, where's the Dreamcast 2?" And then that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. My turn. It kind of feels weird just because I remember when the 10th anniversary happened. I felt really weird. It's I can't believe it's been out 10 years. I don't know. It's weird. It's also kind of weird how there's so many people that support it. Saturn doesn't have this type of support.
Yeah, true.
And neither does GameCube or the Xbox. Xbox has pretty good support because it's basically a PC and it was easy to put ROMs on. Mm. But it doesn't have new software coming out for it.
True.
It's kind of weird how everybody just got behind the Dreamcast and decided I'm not gonna let this die.
I was talking to one of my friends when we were doing the marathon. We were talking about how the Dreamcast was really the first console where you didn't feel the 3D graphics held you back, you weren't trying to get over the fact that it wasn't perfect. Because we were playing some games and we didn't even think about the fact that they were 10-year-old graphics, we just got right into it. But you play something on Saturn or Nintendo 64 and you really start to see how shitty things look, or things don't work as well as you'd hope they'd work.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think there's some games that they're done simple enough that they kind of go through the test of time. I think one of those games is Knights.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a simple concept that you could any time pick it up and play it and still be oh, that's a pretty good game.
Yeah.
I think Jet Set Radio is another one. I think besides the camera issue that a lot of people had, which is easily fixed by just pressing one of the triggers.
Yeah.
I think that game was actually pretty simple concept control wise. I think Shimmy was done really well for a 3D game.
Oh, totally. That scale.
Yeah, Jet Set was one of my favorites.
I think there's some games that did not go as good, aged properly. Well, I'll discuss one of the games later on because it's one of the user topics, so I don't want to go into it right now. So, in Sega, your turn.
Yeah, it is a weird feeling. It's kind of I almost feel old, but I feel older than I am just thinking about it, because I remember when Dreamcast launched, and it's kind of crazy to think that was 12 years ago.
One of my friends one of my friends.
No, I'm interested.
When he got the launch, he got Power Stone. One of the first titles, He's I couldn't find, I forgot what it was. I think it was Mortal Kombat Gold or some dumb crappy game. So I got this game. And then I was I don't know, man. It looks kind of crappy. It looks like, and I was it kind of looks like it wants to be Dragon Ball Z. And we were playing it. And I remember we played one game and I was just dude, this is pretty good. I don't want to admit it, but goddamn, this is really good. And then we played, I remember we played all night that game. Playing that game. I thought it was the best game I ever played. I thought it was really amazing how you could pick up chairs and throw it at them.
Mm-hmm.
And little stuff like that. I thought it was, and there's this one level where you could roll over tables.
Yeah.
I thought little stuff like that made the game stand out compared to other fighters.
I saw it on the demo disc, dude. When the demo that came with the system had Power Stone 2 and or Power Stone 1, and literally we played those two levels on that demo for hours, dude. And then we
also had that Sonic Adventure demo too.
Yeah, I'm holding the generator demo in my hand right now. It had Ready to Rumble, Power Stone, Monaco Grand Prix, House of the Dead 2, Sonic Adventure, Sega Bass Fishing, Championship Car Racing, Flag to Flag, and then a whole bunch of movies.
Yep.
Dude,
Hydro Thunder and shit.
You didn't even buy games when you had this thing. I played all these demos for Hydro 2 months. Thunder.
Yeah, I was gonna say right now, Ready to Rumble was the perfect demo.
Yeah.
So it was just like you pick two of the characters, which is obviously the best ones in the game, kind of like the skinny one and the big one, and then you guys would just punch each other. And I was that game always amazed me, the graphics. I was like, whoa, it's so much different, because I knew a guy that had it on the PS1. Or I think it was part two. I'm not sure. It's one of them. Yeah, on the PS1, and it was like horrible looking.
Yeah, their mouths would open and their fat would jiggle and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was a lot better on the Dreamcast.
Totally.
And Sega, you gonna finish up?
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna discuss other things, but it looks like we'll later. But I'll just say that the system came out at like just the right time as far as like things go, so that it gave so many new experiences that we. The other systems, so that's I think part of the reason why it's so special. But yeah, 12th year. I don't know. No, there, nothing else to really say except it was a great system, and it's celebrated its year anniversaries, even if Sega doesn't want to.
That is true. We're gonna go to user topics first.
One thing I wanted to mention on Dreamcast, that's actually my 13th. I was so excited for this system, I actually imported it. Back in 98 with what was it? Virtual Fighter 3, Pin Pin Tricellion, and...
is that the Penguin game?
Sonic Adventure, yep.
Yeah, the Penguin game.
I figured I had to have something with it, but God, it cost me like freaking $800, and that's back when I was working at EB Games just part-time. So I was in debt with that with the Dreamcast for quite a few years.
Bro, you get it for $50 online right now. You know. You got ripped off. No, I'm just joking with you.
Yeah, that's actually the first quite a bit. Domestic.
How much was it in Japan? 300, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, see, this is 800 with the system and quite a few games.
I was telling last time in the podcast that I was thinking about importing Vita from Japan to get it in winter. I don't think so, dude. They charge way too much for shipping fees. I might as well just wait it out like the rest of us in spring. And plus, who am I going to play with? Nobody's going to have it. Storm? That's I don't want to play with Storm. Shoot. Oh, I hate racing games. Is all he's going to tell me every single time I get on. User topics. Max Caddy usually sends the best ones, so we got three of his user topics.
Nice.
What is your favorite unintentional funny moment in Shimu and Sega?
Definitely anything with the Mad Angels. Even the name themselves is mad funny unintentionally, but the fact that they were the most stereotypical, like this is Japan's interpretation of like a Western biker gang.
Get out of here!
It was like all that shit and their voice acting and everything, especially the scene where they chase you on the motorcycle. It was cool, but so unintentionally funny. That's my pick. For sure.
Dude, I'm the one that wrote the Mad Angel parts. I thought it was genius. I thought it was like Sense of Anarchy.
It was so fucking awesome. So good.
Mine would have to be... I already said this in another podcast, actually, so I'll just say it again. It's the part where Ryu takes the piggy bank from... what's his face?
Fukusan.
And Fukusan just gets all sad and is like, I don't give a shit. Like, it just like... Ryu's face is so like no emotion, like just takes away his life savings and he just loses it. He's like, I don't care, I'll just make money some other way. Like, he doesn't care about it, like, son, at all. And like Fukusan lives like in a crappy little room in his house.
The corner bedroom, yeah, and the tiny one room. Oh my god.
And he just sits there praying like all day.
The most miserable existence, and Ryu just stole all his money, and like it got stolen from him too by the bald
guy. I'm saving up for an apartment. I can't wait to get out of here. I'm almost out. Hey, let me borrow some money. Ryu walks in. I gotta go catch the dad. Gotta kill my father. Don't do it. Just give me the money. Shut up. And he just takes the money.
Smashes his piggy bank too. Just shatters it.
This means nothing to me. Jigs, what's your favorite part?
Everybody talks about the sailors and stuff, but that's a little too easy. I just love how the fact that he's wanting to get revenge on his father, and he keeps stopping to play these little arcade games and get all the little prizes out of the bubblegum machines and stuff.
My father's dead.
His father's dead, and he just wastes his time as much as possible.
He's like sitting in his house playing Sega Saturn, and he's like, what was it? Is grandma was a lady to him?
Caretaker. The caretaker.
Yeah.
What a horrible life, too. Anyway, she's like, coming in, she's like, can you wash your dishes? No, I'm going to get the guy that murdered my father. Didn't you see I'm busy? Get the hell out of here. He's all, why is Fuku-san crying? I don't know. He's broke. He doesn't have any money. Why don't you go talk to him in his corner bedroom when nobody, everybody ignores him? Barry, what was your favorite funny part?
I don't know. I don't think it's unintentional, but I like any of the scenes with Goro in it.
Yeah. What's like, up, bro?
It's I think what's unintentional is that they intentionally made him funny, but it's not funny. You know what I mean? Like, it's just cringeworthy, but it's just, if you can get over that fact, he's hilarious. And he's like talking about he's like, I know where you can, like, the best place to take a leak, man. What? And then he like has a brain hemorrhage and like gets down on his knees and he's like, oh.
He's just pumping up, dude. He's going to tell you right now. Why is he telling you where the best place to take a piss is at?
I like how they overly state the same thing, like different characters. They'll always say things like schoolboy and A, like, going to go over there, A.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Like, the whole schoolboy thing, I remember when I first played the game, that's like the first thing that happened to me. I'm like lost because they don't give you a map, really, so you're supposed to figure out where everything's at by yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm walking down this place, and, like, this girl's there, and I go to talk to her, and she's like, hey, schoolboy! And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm dressed normal, and this bitch is, like, in the schoolgirl outfit, and he's calling me a schoolboy.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck this bitch. I was like, that pissed me off.
I love the bitchy girls. Did you ever get that cutscene where they were insanely cruel to Ryo when he talked to him?
No.
And I don't know what they said. I don't know if they said like shit or if they were like piss off or something like that. But if you talk to them enough, they really start cussing, which is pretty funny.
Damn, I wish I got to see that. I never saw it.
It's online somewhere. I'll find it eventually. Cool. But yeah, schoolgirls and Goro definitely.
Max Caddy says, touchy subject, but what are your thoughts on the canceled DC title Propeller Arena? Me, I actually downloaded it not that long ago. When I first got it, when I had a Dreamcast, when, like, you know, after it died and that ROM became available, I couldn't burn it. Like, I burned it and it was never right.
Huh.
But, like, maybe 3 years ago, I tried it anyway because I really wanted to play it. And it worked. I thought the game is a little overrated. People say it's really, really excellent. It feels like kind of a little plain. It's an arcade game, obviously. Like, yeah. It's AM2. I would like this. Yeah, I don't know why they canceled. I mean, I know September 11th, but I think it's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's a good port. Everything works pretty well. I think it would have been pretty cool if it had online and more things to it. But, I mean, it was canceled because of 9/11, and they didn't want controversy, but I bet if they released it, they would have gotten more console sales.
Oh, absolutely.
Shigs?
I actually never got a chance to play it, so I can't really put any thought on that.
It's by AM2, no big deal. It's just the best company ever.
No, because I knew someone who can give me, like, burnt CDs and stuff at the time, but he didn't have that one. I played Half-Life on the Dreamcast?
I have never played that one, actually.
And I got canceled. It came out really good. But
I remember they had ads for
one
it.
Of the ones he didn't have.
They had ads for it on the Dreamcast magazines. It was like,
Part of the reason why Dreamcast died. It was so easy to, bootleg off of. All it needed was a boot disc. It was kind of sad.
It's people taking advantage of Sega's carrying ways.
Yeah.
Sega's like Jesus. They just take advantage of them. Barry?
Yes.
What do you think about Propeller Arena? You played it, I'm sure.
I've played it. I had a burned copy of it. I don't know what happened to it, but I don't understand the controversy. It's like when, remember when, I don't know if it was Confidential Mission, but around the time of the Columbine attacks, they made it so that you couldn't use the official Sega light gun on, I think, Confidential Mission. And that pissed me off. But it's just like one of those same things where I guess it's like there's an airplane in it and there's some buildings on the ground, but that's the only connection, really.
Yeah.
I mean, now it's not that great a game that it needs to be released, but I think if they're going to re-release stuff like Sega Bass Fishing, they should release it to XBLA for like $10.
I agree, because, I mean, Sega Bass Fishing? I mean, seriously? Come on. There's no fishing games on PS3 or Xbox 360 that you have to buy. All right. Anyway, I guess. And Sega, I mean, Ben?
Yeah, of course, I never played it, but I will say that I had the argument with of all people, Cube, when Yakuza of the End got delayed. And I said the same thing. I just said, like, look, I really don't think it's... I understand being careful and being cautious, but eventually you should release it. And they did. They released Yakuza of the End. They never released Propeller Arena. I don't know. I always think you should release... Don't let controversy like
it's,
that affect
It's actually
the game
funny. It's funny because Yakuza of the End, Sega released it, and it came with, like, a special edition card, the first whatever... I guess, like, a first 20,000 units or something. And it would... Part of the money would go to help Japan rebuild, and this is what Sega did for the relief. What Capcom did was delay all the DLC for Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and then tell people they're going to release Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 because of the hurricane. So, just screw over your fans. That's cool.
Which was BS, because if you watch the Angry Joe interview he did recently with Capcom, because he's the most, you know, vocal about that.
Yeah.
They even said that they only had so much time left with the Marvel license, so they wanted to hurry up and push it out while they can.
Right.
But they didn't, of course, do it as DLC. They did it as a, you know, full disc release. I guess it's because of all the balancing issues they'd have to redo and stuff. I don't know.
It's funny though, because like FPS games get like rebalanced all the time, like huge patches, but like Capcom does not want to do that with its fighting games. They'd rather re-release it for more money. So if they buy them, they'll keep doing it. Max Caddy said, "Classic debate: which is better, Sonic Adventure or Sonic Adventure 2?" And Sega, go.
All right, I feel like I've had this. Yeah, Sonic Adventure 2. Even though.
Sorry.
I don't know. How would I say it? Like, Sonic Adventure 1 was a better experience, but Sonic Adventure 2 was the better game. And I think that pretty much sums it up, my thoughts on it.
All I'm going to say is you're wrong.
Fuck you.
So, Jake's going.
That's all I'll say to that.
No, I'm saying Sonic Adventure, because Sonic Adventure 2, I think it had better Sonic and Shadow levels, but the fact is, you didn't have the choice of what characters you were going to play as next. You had to play through the story. Both good and bad, and then they had these horrible Knuckles and Rouge levels that they somehow screwed up worse from Sonic Adventure 1, where you had the, you know, the radar would tell you whatever the emerald was located was near, but in this one they only would do it in a certain order. You could be right next to an emerald and it wouldn't go off because that's not the emerald you had to get next, which was a pain in the butt.
But Knuckles inspired Get Mario Galaxy. Did you not see a post about that? I saw that somewhere online. I was like,
because that stupid space level. That was the worst level, too. That was the hardest one to get all the emeralds on.
A meteor herd.
Yeah. And you know what pissed me off even more? When I saw this big article that actually got a lot of publicity when Mario Galaxy 1 came out, was that they copied Ratchet and Clank. I was like, wait, what the hell? Sonic Adventure 2 came out before both those games. But whatever. Anyway. Not that they copied. I think it's just it happens to have the same arts, kind of like, you know, the Little Planets. That's all.
Yeah, because I mean, if I don't want to see the big, you know, mega ending, I could pass characters like Big or not Omega, but what was the other one? Gamma.
Why would you want to pass Big? He's the best one out of the whole damn game.
But then, you know, Adventure 2, you have to play as those characters in order to, because you have to see the ending. You don't have much of a choice.
But it made for like a more
Sonic and Shadow levels.
It made for a tighter story though, and a faster paced story.
Barry, like the old song says, Sonic doesn't need a story.
Barry.
Yes.
Spit the truth.
This is the real deal. I'd go with Sonic Adventure because Sonic Adventure 2, I thought the Sonic levels were a little bit better, but the problem was that they were all broken up with like the other levels, and then when you played Shadow's story, you'd play levels of Shadow and you're like, oh, I really want to try this as Sonic. I remember when the game came out, and then I realized you could never play as Sonic in the single player mode, even though he would play perfectly if you put him like in something like, I don't know, White Jungle or whatever. So I also think Sonic Adventure did a better job at merging the classic art style with the emerging modern art style, because there's like a lot of like little little nods to the Genesis games in Sonic Adventure, whereas not so much in Sonic Adventure 2.
Well, that's pretty good, I guess.
I think it was Chao Garden did it for me, I think. 2's Chao Gardens, though. That's
two had a better Chao Garden and a better type of story, but Adventure, I think, because I sat down...
That's cool that it has better stuff than shit I don't care about. I mean, like,
yeah, exactly.
Chao Gardens.
It's the stuff you don't care about. I sat down and I played through Sonic's story of Sonic Adventure when it hit XBLA, and it was, like, incredibly fun. Like, I was surprised that even the Adventure sections were so easy that I got through them in, like, 30 seconds, and I was on to the next Sonic stage. And I don't know, I think they're better tropes, level tropes, too. Like, you got the whole, the air fleet, and you got the giant factory at the end. I thought that was cool.
Oh, I think, my turn, huh?
Go for
it.
I
think Sonic Adventure 2, I lied to myself when I was younger, and I wasn't a child. I was kind of like, but I lied to myself. I was young. I let Sonic Team get the best of me. I lied to myself that I enjoyed Sonic Adventure 2. I don't think I think there were some levels I truly did enjoy, but like after I finished Sonic Adventure 2, the only thing I could think about was it wasn't as fun as Sonic Adventure 1. I don't know if that was the only one. Like,
did you miss the mini games from Sonic Adventure? Because that's what I missed.
I don't know what it was I missed. I think it was just the fact that you could just play as Sonic the whole game, and then like you know, oh, I'm gonna play as Amy or I'm gonna play as Omega. You know, I'm prepared for it. But when I played Sonic Adventure 2, it's like I sat there and I'm like, oh, that was a cool Sonic level, 3 minute level, and then it's like 20 minutes, no, not 20 minutes, like 5 minutes of Robotnik going really super slow or Tails.
Yeah.
And then, like, the controls sucked for those things. Like, it kind of, like, you didn't have a second joystick, so you couldn't move the camera up, so you didn't know how far the platform was to jump. So I would hover like an idiot, trying to see where I'm going to land. Sometimes.
You know, people give the Werehog a lot of shit, but I'd much rather play as the Werehog than I would another Knuckles and Rouge level.
Exactly. I think the only issue was that, like, I think the Werehog was taken down to, like, maybe, like, 5 minutes more platform-focused, and then had Sonic slow down a bit on Sonic Unleashed, I think it would have done the game a lot better.
Yeah, if Werehog was, like you said, like, maybe about 10 minutes long instead of, like, 20 to 20 minutes to half hour, it would have been a lot better.
They didn't give you a timer. I'd sit down, and I'd be like, I'm just going to play one Werehog level, and I'm going to turn this thing off. And 30 or 40 minutes would go by, and I'd get angry at the game because it wasted my time.
Yeah, and the friggin' medals. I hated the friggin' medals so much.
Oh, yeah, the medals sucked. The medals sucked.
At least emblems in the adventure games were optional.
So three out of four, adventure, one out of four.
I mean, I agree Adventure with 2. What you guys are saying. Like I said, Sonic Adventure 1 was the better overall experience for sure. Like, the whole, it was a much better experience. But
do you like
when
the storyline, the Maria?
Yeah.
Maria. But like when I was a kid, I kind of liked it. When I was younger, obviously, because I was like, it's cool, it's so dark. But like, I hate it now. Like, if I went back and played it like a couple years ago, and I was really pissed.
Here's a question.
Why is it drama?
Gun shot his, you know, Maria down, the girl that kind of raised him. Why did he end up joining Gun later?
Fuck him.
Well, see, I don't agree with. He should have died after Sonic Adventure 2.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But I loved Shadow in Sonic Adventure 2.
Now his angst makes absolutely no sense. His angst in the first one, his anger made, you know, perfect sense, but now he's just pissed off to be a jerk.
He's like, huh. He's like, freaking Sonic's like, oh, look at those chili dogs, huh. Chili dogs, whatever. I used to eat that when I was like 8 years old. Dumbass. He gets all just angry. I don't understand the whole point. I think this is one of those characters that Sega should have killed, but he's still coming back.
I think back to me before Sonic Heroes was announced, and I actually did really like Shadow to the point where I'd like draw stupid pictures of him like giving high fives with Sonic and stuff. And
like,
then
he's really giving a high five, like, well, whatever, dude, I don't really like this.
But then when he came back, it was like, it completely ruined my entire like view on the character, and I just hated him as much as I hate Silver.
In Sonic 06, when he's riding a bike, so bad. It's so ridiculous.
Stupid.
Yeah, the you're gonna motorcycle. Walk Sonic. I'm just gonna ride my bike over there. No big deal. Yeah, I'm gonna ride with my skates on.
Jeez.
Yeah, it gives me double speed.
The skates kind of made sense, but where he learned to ride a motorcycle makes no sense at all. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
He's too lazy. It's not even a motorcycle. It's one of those like little carts that you use in Walmart for those people that don't want to walk.
Or a Segway. Like,
you have to learn how to ride a motorcycle.
It's a Segway, dude. It's not even easy. Big the Cat just comes up on a Segway the next game. What's up, guys?
Yeah. Let's go fishing. Yeah, Sonic 06, using the Jeep or any vehicle with Shadow actually made me lose the game more than if I just passed by and didn't use them at all.
I think Sonic Team could have just made Shadow a clone of Sonic and be done with it, but they're like, no, we have so much time making this game that we're going to go in and we're going to put carts in it. Yeah, that's what we're gonna do.
It's got to be edgy, and it's got to have that Grand Theft Auto thing with guns and.
And then Sega's like, "Yeah, you guys almost done with the game, and it's gonna come out next month." Oh crap! So they just all unfinished, and they just release it. That's what happened.
Yep.
They just threw too much things in the same one pot. That's what happened.
Totally.
I think it's also fan expectations. I mean, when you go from like. Having Big the Cat, all these other characters in Adventure, mm-hmm. it's like a big like critical hit or whatever. Like critics love it and stuff, and fans love it. And then you go to Part 2, and then you, because supposedly Part 2 is only supposed to be Sonic, right? And Shadow, right?
Yeah. Sonic and Knuckles and or something like that.
And then they changed it because more people were complaining that like they wanted more people, which I think ruined it. Fans ruined Sonic Adventure 2. It could have been a lot better. Oh, another thing I hate about Sonic games, this includes, it's the last thing so we can finish the podcast. This includes Adventure 1 and 2. The last levels of each game are always the worst.
Wait, you didn't like Final Rush?
Is that the spaceship one?
No, it's the Sonic's level, on the grinding one where he grinds the whole time. You didn't like Final Rush?
That's horrible. Why would I...
Damn, dude, wait.
You would jump off a rail, and then you wouldn't know if you could hit the other rail, so it was like ridiculous deaths.
You just lack skills, man.
I have to admit, I kind of like that one. But I think of Eggman Land and Unleashed. That was frustrating and torturous.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know, man. I'm just saying Yakuza is a better franchise. It should just be the flagship.
Yeah.
Dude, are you seriously going to say no to men without shirts?
I mean, yeah, there are plenty of shirtless men, but they really need to innovate. They will with the next one.
If Shinmue had shirtless men, we wouldn't be talking about Yakuza. We would be talking about Shinmue.
Glad to see where your priorities are.
All right, well, I'm going to finish off the podcast because we already had a topic.
Shirtless move.
And the last one is Titanic Mouse says, we should definitely talk about Shinmue. I'm sure it definitely doesn't get talked about constantly. No, we're not going to talk about Shinmue. We're done.
What about the one up top here?
What is that?
From Charles M.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that one we should get to.
Oh, yeah. What makes
skip the Shinmue question.
What makes Dreamcast special to you? Many consoles have come and gone, but there is a loyal fan base still, more so than other consoles. Shigs?
I think it was their best console just because the titles they put out were so creative. It had a huge launch of great titles, and they just kept it going and going for as long as they could. But the friggin' PS2 train with its cheap DVD player, which
you can't blame the PS2. There's so many issues with the Dreamcast that saying that PS2 is the only cause of its death. It's like saying that I don't know.
Well, a lot of people I talked to, I asked them why they didn't have a Dreamcast and said they were holding out for PS2 because they wanted to, you know, a game with a DVD player and stuff.
I wouldn't blame Sony. I'd blame consumers.
Yeah, it's a consumer. I mean, Sony's not saying.
Well, no, I'm not blaming Sony. I mean, it's, you know,
if it was the other way around, I wouldn't blame Dreamcast for Sony's
shortcomings. It's also Sega's fault for having something that's easily. Bootlegable, and then their history in the past from the Saturn and the 32X.
And then selling it at a loss, then freaking, they did a few, and then they were already on, they're already in debt to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a shame, because this was their best effort, I think, ever, was the Dreamcast.
Barry? Just playing the PS2, dude. I'm gonna do it right now.
I like the Dreamcast just because of the huge number of unique titles that are actually worth playing. I mean, you look at Saturn, there's a lot of unique titles, but a lot of them are kind of crappy, like Mr. Bones. Or I mean, they have fun and all, but if someone said to me, hey, should I play Seaman, Space Channel 5, Shenmue, Jet Set Radio, Samba de Amigo, you know, I'd say, yeah, absolutely. They're definitely worth playing. But, you know, yeah, so I think that's what makes it special to me, because if my Dreamcast died on me, I'd go out the next week and buy a new one, because I want to be able to play all these games I can't play anywhere else. And, I don't know, I also like the design of it. I like all the accessories. I think they all are actually worth using still, like the light gun on my old TV and the microphone maracas. So, yeah,
God, that's why the maracas
and the indie community, even though they don't make a lot of games and some of them are kind of, you know, crappy, I think there's like maybe two or three good independent releases every year that I think, like, if you still have your Dreamcast hooked up to the TV, it's worth getting a couple of them.
And Sega?
For me, it came out. The Dreamcast came out at just the right time in my life, where I was not cynical. I was sort of just like your like 12, 13 year old or whatever I was, and then just kind of everything was amazing to me, and like life was so easy back then, and it was just like the perfect timing. And then the graphics were better than anything, and then it felt like Sega, like their studios all had the freedom to just make whatever they wanted, and it didn't have to be commercial. It didn't have to be mainstream. It was just like, here, this is what we're going to do. We're going to design a cel-shaded, you know, skating graffiti game and fucking take it. And they just design it. And they were able to do that. And I think that we had some, like, incredibly awesome games on the Dreamcast. And it was just, like, and it was above and beyond what, like, people on the N64 were playing. And I was so, like, I felt, like, so much, you know, they all looked at what I was playing and they were so jealous. And it was just a great thing. It was a great 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
2 years. Was it like 2.5? But yeah, well, that's not what I'm saying. But I think, give me a sec. I think that the reason I liked it is the same reason as and Sega. It's just the right time of age, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I was amazed by it, and I think it was other factors. Like, I think it paved the way for like modern consoles. I mean, when the time it came out, I wasn't allowed to own a computer, so I never had web access at my house.
Right.
So I got a Dreamcast. It comes with a web browser. Yeah, it wasn't that great, but to me at the time, for the, you know, the first time, like, experienced the web from my house, it was kind of like amazing, you know.
Yep, it worked. I mean, there was times when my computer would break down and I'd have to use that web browser and that, and it was just good enough for the time.
It's that, and then I spend, like, a lot of times in our IRC rooms, because Sega sponsored their, like, IRC rooms. And when you bought a game, it'll say, you know, come to the IRC room or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. I remember one night we just stayed up all night talking to people, like me and my friends, because you could buy the keyboard.
Uh-huh.
We just stayed up all night talking to people online. It was probably one of the best experiences, because, like, you know, it's just experiencing, you know, the open world web, you know, like you could just talk to people from like anywhere in the world from your Dreamcast.
I gotta ask you, since the Dreamcast didn't really have a web history and your parents probably didn't know how to use it, did you ever look at porn on it secretly?
Not secretly.
Oh, you did it with your family or something?
Yeah, I did it with my family. I brought them all in. I'm like, check this out, Mom. Yeah, it's running about 240p. Pretty good quality. No, me and my friend would actually do that, so there, it's out there.
Yeah.
We were perverts, but we were like 12 and 13 at the time, I mean.
Yeah, I was, I was 14, 15.
I mean, you get a Dreamcast, you get access to the internet, the first thing you're going to do is look at some clam chowder.
Yeah.
Online. So,
wow.
What do you want me to do? And I remember, I also remember going to my like cousin's house and we'd play Phantasy Star Online.
Oh, yeah.
But like, his next door neighbor was his grandma. So what we did is he got a really long dial-up cord, hooked it up in the living room, used her phone to get online, and then I would be in his room on his phone line of the house, and we'd play online together with other like two other people.
That's awesome.
And we would just yell at each other like, dude, and like just like, you know, across the room.
Yeah,
pretty good times. That, and we also played a lot of like Dead or Alive together.
Nice.
Two, yeah. So yeah, I think that's probably it. I think it's also one of those consoles where like, yeah, we're opening up to online, but we were still in that mindset that we played together in the same room, I guess.
Oh yeah.
Like we're transitioning to like right now. If I tell my friend, hey man, come over to play online, he's like, why don't you just play me online? It's like, okay, nobody wants to play split screen anymore, or you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. The days like GoldenEye on the N64 where everyone get together at once.
And like, yeah, nobody wants to do that anymore. And it's, I think that's all the factors that put it in together. And I also, probably the first console I actively subscribed to their official magazine and kept track of everything.
Yeah, I went up till the end and then I got a letter saying next issue there won't be a demo disc. And then I got the next issue. And
yeah, I remember that. I was pissed.
They were like, coming up next month, we're going to have a lot of fun, talk about stuff. We're going to review, I think they were going to review like Phantasy Star Online or some really big game. And then the magazine was canceled. And
yeah.
The whole staff moved on to the unofficial Xbox magazine. And I remember I just liked the staff so much that I started subscribing to that, even though I didn't own an Xbox for like another year. So.
Me too. Actually, that's actually the reason I wanted an Xbox when the Xbox first came out was because they we're doing an Xbox magazine.
Yeah.
And they're awesome. Hyping up Panzer Dragoon Orta. Oh, man.
Oh,
I'm so excited.
On cover.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah. That staff, the official Dreamcast magazines, would like kind of made me want to like write about, you know, Sega stuff.
Yeah. It was, I think, Francesca Reyes. And there was someone else. There was some guy who was the publisher. Yeah. That was awesome.
Oh, you're thinking about the publisher for the magazine?
Yeah. I don't know if she was the editor or what her name was, but she was behind a lot of that. She's still working now. I think she does some online stuff.
Man, that magazine was just beautiful. Like, it was high quality, big paper.
Huge. Yeah.
It was really nice. One. And they always
I still
had the
have
prices.
Them.
Yeah, I have about eight of them.
I have about six. And the demo discs, too. That was
amazing.
Yeah, I
finally
amazing.
Got a whole collection. I started subscribing at, like, the fifth issue, and then just, like, last year I started going on eBay, and whenever I saw one for, like, $5, I'd pick it up.
It's funny because they have, like, the coolest, like, color schemes on, too. Like, whoever designed them, like, really put some heart and soul into those color schemes.
They used metallic ink, too, like, a lot, which was pretty awesome.
No wonder they ran out of money.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, the nicest magazine, I think. At the time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of a nicer gaming magazine, actually.
Yeah, it was the end of an era, too, where you would buy a magazine because the screenshots look better than the little blurry pictures on the internet, I remember.
Yep.
Yeah, dude.
And the internet wasn't really, like, they had IGN and stuff, but, like, we wouldn't really check it.
Yeah.
Like, I would never check on IGN or anything for reviews. I would, like, look at the official Dreamcast magazine for all the info. And, like, I would take their reviews as a grain of salt. Like, I would, like, read the reviews and, like, what they hated. But mm-hmm. if I liked the concept of the game, I would have picked it up anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think that's what also made it good because now, I think now there's so many games coming out. I mean, we should be lucky, but, like, we don't have enough time to play all the games.
Yeah.
Like, there's like, oh, September has like 10 games I might want to play.
Yeah, like, Jesus, fall, it's like put out way more than anybody could possibly play.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I don't have time to play all these games. So I'm going to have to miss out on a lot of games. But when I was younger, it's like, how all the time in the world?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's it for that topic, right? Anything you guys want to add?
That's pretty much it. We were went rambled on pretty long for that one.
Yeah, well, it's a good talk.
Yeah.
The podcast is over, so we say our goodbyes, and we'll see them next year for the 13th anniversary.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Well, we're going to be back next week. Something about, I guess Aki's going to be going to Europe, the Euro Game Expo or something like that.
Okay.
So he's going to be having some preview articles up soon. And the whole month on the site, we're going to have a Dreamcast-related content, so check back.
Oh, yeah.
Look forward to that.
I wanted to say, too, if you click on the link, the entire 10-hour marathon that I did is already saved to the Justin TV or the Twitch TV / Dream Room website, so you can watch it right now.
What is Twitch TV?
You know what it was that I'll just explain it real quick. On Justin TV, they have a sister site that does video game streaming called Twitch TV. And when I said I'm doing a video game related thing, they sent me over there, but I didn't know that they only did direct streaming. You couldn't do any like cheap webcam stuff, so I jumped back to Justin TV.
Okay.
So, but they're on either one, but Justin TV right now has the entire 10 hours already archived, and I'll be putting it on YouTube too. So
That's it. All right, then I'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Later.
Bye.
Red's done.